Cool. Kids, you are in with me, so you guys, it's good to be here. For those of you that's in the room, welcome. It's great to have you. Good to be on the last day of the year. And I was earlier on in OBS, and there was like this chunk of gaps. I was like, you're well done on making it. For us, it doesn't look too bad, so that's great. You good? All right, cool. And so I thought, with it being the last day of the year, there's some people amongst us that's probably going to go, yes, the year is over, and we're really happy about that. And the relief of the year is very fastly followed by the anxiousness of, well, there's another year coming. And so I thought it would be better that we don't have like a heavy, heavy sermon, which is somewhat nice, but something to help. We've got the kids in the room, and so we're going to do this slightly differently than normally. I'm going to tell you a story, a narration, or a narrative story. But we're going to have some application that comes out of it. If you want to know where exactly it comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 19. That is the passage that I'm going to be working with. But I'm going to just give a slight turn on it, and we're going to do it as a narration. And so that the kids that are here, that you guys can follow as well, so we can get going. So is that all right if we do a story? Good? Well, if you said no, then I'm still going to do the story. Okay, so now, in order for this to work, I'm going to need a bit of your help. I need you to sit back. It is a warm day out there, so you almost can get into the mood. Relax. Let your mind drift on the sands of the desert that's headed back into the east. The sand's blowing, so it's a hot day. Kind of get you into the mood. And allow your mind to drift to a little village far, far away where a young boy called Taj is busy feeding the animals for his family's stables. This young boy Taj, his dad runs a rather lucrative business which is called the Camel Rental Agency. And basically what this man does is that he rents his camels out and he leads people into the desert, taking them on a trip if they need to get to another city, mostly merchants that want to sell their wares to the different cities around. And so he takes them in and charges them a fee, and it makes a pretty good a living. And things were good until last year, Charger's dad got ill, really ill, which meant that he couldn't really do, initially was the big trips, then he couldn't really do the little trips, and eventually he just couldn't do trips at all, which meant there was no income coming into the family. And so things were looking really bad. Well, that is, until a few days ago, a messenger from the king came and said, we need to rent your camels. And we will pay you handsomely because we have a trip to make to another land that is very important. And so the family discussed it, and Taj's dad was like, well, I just don't have the strength. I'm not strong enough. I'm never going to be able to do this. Taj was like, well, I've been on many trips with you, Dad. I've done this journey with you a couple of times. So maybe I can lead the trip. It's about time. I'm old enough. I know the servants. I know the animals. I've hand-raised most of the animals myself. I can lead this trip. And so after much discussion, the family decided that Taj will do it. And Taj, feeling really important, kind of called all the servants together, gave them a pep talk about how it's going to work, who's in charge, kind of gave them the whole story, what needs to happen, who needs to get this and that, and got it together, and they got prepared, waiting for that moment for the messengers to arrive so they can leave. And the day arrived, and the messengers arrived, dressed in all their finery of purple silk, and was just really, really smart. And Taj kind of looked at them and said, well, they look really good. It's not good for traveling. And so he kind of called them aside and says, yes, sir, I'm really excited about this trip. It's going to be a good one. But, you really, really, really shouldn't be wearing the clothes you're wearing, because out in the desert, sand gets everywhere. And so they laughed about it, and they said, don't worry, sir, we've got traveling clothes, we've got a cloak, we've got all that's needed. We just arrived in the clothes that we were wearing at the palace. So they got ready, and Taj got all but ready, and then again, he suddenly realized a very important fact. So he walked over to them and said, did you by any chance mention where we're going? Because I actually don't know where we're going. I know I'm leading. So they laughed about it and said, no, we'll leave at night because we are following a star. We are following the star. And Tajkan was like, following a star. Yeah, that's an interesting thing to do. What star? Where's the star? How do I follow the star? He said, well, actually, we have found these prophecies that were written many, many years ago by a Hebrew prince that lived in our land. And he had spoken about this day where this child that was going to be born that will one day be king. And we've always wondered about it, never known what it meant and where it went until the star appeared in the east. And we realized that these prophecies were true. And because this prince was so well respected many, many years ago in our land, our king said, we need to take some treasures to honor him. And so we've been sent following the star. And that is why this journey is about. So Taj was like, well, cool, that's good for me. I'm glad with that. We'll follow the star. And so they traveled at night. And over time, Taj made friends with these men. And they became really good. And they would laugh at night. They would chat. And they would begin to explain to him of the different constellations in the sky. And he eventually found out that these men studied the stars. This is what they did. And they used the stars as a way of predicting the future or predicting the things to come. And they would give information to the king. And so it was quite fascinating to a young boy called Taj. And so they kept on this journey night after night, following the star, which seemed to be moving. After a few days, Taj kind of asked them the question. He says, so you said it was a Hebrew prince that had written about this. And they were like, yes, yes, yes. And we're like, so the chances are that we're probably going to be going to Jerusalem, right? And the men said, yes, that is true. We are probably going to be heading in that direction. Now, this wasn't exactly something that Taj was excited to hear. Not because Jerusalem was bad or there was a city that he'd really want to know about. The problem was the king of Israel was an interesting figure. Although he had done amazing things, they had heard stories of him, of his architecture and the things and the stuff that he had built around. He did all these amazing things, but he was known to have a rather fiery temper. And a temper that was so bad that he would do things that you would not expect. So he heard stories of him having his brother-in-law killed, or even worse, had his own wife killed. Because he was angry and was scared about what they were thinking about him. And he was so threatened. And so people around this king were not the safest place to be. And to Taj's little mind, he realized the further he was away from this king, the better for his life. And now, as he read this, as they began the story, as they began this walk and this journey in the desert, he realized he is coming closer and closer to this crazy, scary king. At the same time, one of the leaders of the group of men who study the stars called him aside and said, you know, as we're traveling, I need some help. I need you to carry these special packages for me. These are very, very important packages that have to be protected at all costs. So Taj, being the leader of the expedition, says, well, you know, my camel's the biggest, so I'm going to keep it there. And we'll keep it with me and I'll take care of it. And so off they journeyed day after night, well, basically night after night after night. And as they got closer, they began to notice there were lights in the distance. And when he had spoken to the servants that traveled with him, he said, well, young Taj, we are coming closer and closer to the great city of Jerusalem. And as they got closer, they began to notice that this wasn't just a little town which they were used to. This was a massive, beautiful city that had buildings. There were people. There were different cultures. There were multiple people traveling all around from all over. There was music. There were people dancing in the streets. It was just an incredible, exciting thing for a young boy that lives in the middle of the desert to actually experience. And he looked around and his eyes were big as saucers as he stared at all these different things that were taking place around him. The men that they were traveling with, on the other hand, weren't really surprised at what they say, probably because they've grown up in big cities or they've experienced it. They kind of just moved and said, come, we need to get to the city. We need to get there to the middle of the city, and there we will meet the people who represent the king. And so they got there quickly and they had a conversation, and very soon Taj found out that they had an audience with Herod, the king of Israel. as they kind of wandered into the palace and they went through the multiple things of these beautiful rooms, Taj was struck by the absolute opulence of the place. It was beautiful. It's something that he could not express ever in his mind, how amazing this palace was. And he asked them, he says, so you think this child that's born is the child of the king? Well, very likely, since it was, you know, the child that will be the king. So obviously it must be the son of the king, most likely. But let's go in. And then they got there. And again, Taj, not really knowing the decorum or what you do when you walk into a palace, decided he was just going to follow these men as they walked in. And he stood behind them with a hand behind his back. And he walked in, kind of taking in the sight around him. And he got in, they got into the room where the king was sitting. And there was this king sitting in magnificent clothing with people around them fanning him to keep him cool. And he had a servant footing, dropping grapes into his mouth whenever he wanted it. There were people massaging his feet. It was just, and everything about Herod screamed wealth and opulence. And Taj kind of watched it as he walked in. He began to notice that actually Herod wasn't really interested in them. In fact, if anything, he was really disinterested. He really didn't want to be there. But obviously, these men were representative of another king. He probably felt that he needed to, you know, the decorum suggests that you have to be, you know, at least courteous to them. So he kind of had them in. And so these men walked in and they kind of explained exactly why they were there. And Taj watched King Herod go from disinterested to slightly interested. So almost over-interested in why they told the story, because they explained and they opened up the scrolls and they took out and they explained the prophecies and how they saw the star and how they were following it and they wanted to know how that worked and they're here to meet the king's son. The problem was Herod had no newborn son. And so that kind of threw them a bit because they weren't sure, okay, if that's the case, then maybe we came to the wrong spot. But they allowed it to continue. They had the conversation. And Taj again began to notice how Herod responded. It was very curious. In fact, he almost said, he called in his men and they discussed it together. And his ministers kind of went to the back to the temple, came back with scrolls again, and they began to show the different things. And then they explained to Herod that, yes, this was spoken of many, many years ago, that the coming of this child. And Taj saw in the eyes of Herod, that flicker of, not sure what it is, but it was something in his eyes that told him that this wasn't okay. And even though Herod acted fine, even though he even seemed over-courteous, and even though he seemed very hospitable towards them, there was something about this man that made them all anxious. And so Herod then said, well, you know, as representatives of your king, you deserve to have proper lodgings here in the palace. So please stay here with us and we will treat you as the royal men as you are. But the men kind of said, well, actually, we are traveling in the party. So we're going to stay with the traveling party. But thank you so much for your hospitality. But we need to still do this. And although he seemed a bit irritated, even though he seemed a bit more unhappy about what would just happen, Herod kind of let them go. And as they walked up, the men spoke amongst themselves as Taj listened. And they were, yeah, something about this didn't sit right with them. Maybe we got this wrong. Maybe our calculations were wrong. Maybe, no, but it seems so right. We follow the star exactly. And so the oldest man amongst them said, well, why don't we wait for night? Let's go out to the city limits where the lights of the city doesn't affect us anymore. Look at the stars and maybe replot how to do this. Now, Taj has gotten pretty good at this after spending many days, many nights looking at the stars and working it out and seeing how these men did it. He kind of said, well, let's go to the outskirts of the city. And they went. And the sun had set and the lights of the city was far behind them. They were now at the city limits and they looked up into the diamonds in the sky and they looked. And Taj noticed and he says, you know what? I could be wrong, because I'm not an expert in this, but don't you think that star is still moving away? And they looked up and they said, well, young Taj, I think you're right. Well, let's keep following it then. And so they followed the star, and they continued walking, and they kept walking, and they looked, and the star moved, and soon they were further than the city limits, then they were out way outside in the countryside, then they were far, far away, and they just kept going. And eventually they arrived at a town. Well, it wasn't much of a town, really. It was a couple of houses, a little field. There was stuff that was happening there. And they were like, well, the light seems to be pointing to this little village, if any. And they walked in, and there was a little home, humble home, nothing special was there, and the light seemed to be landing on that. And so they walked up to the gate, opened it, got to the door, and they heard some commotion in the inside. They heard what it sounds like, a little baby giggling as if it was in a bath, splashing water. They heard a mom lovingly but sternly speaking to the child, trying to calm him down when the splashing. Then they heard of the guffaw of a father that probably wasn't helping the bath situation very well, but was making jokes and everyone was laughing and the kid was making fun. And it was like this crazy family bath time thing that was happening in the back. And they stood at the door not sure what to do. You see, because it was a really intimate family moment, really, that's taking place. And the men looked at each other and they said, well, you know, we've traveled all this way. The light seems to be pointing right here. We have to at least knock on the door. So they knocked on the door and there was silence suddenly in the house. And there was like sounds of chairs moving away. And the door opened and there stood a man covered in soap and a towel on his shoulder, all wet and like kind of like wiping his hands, and said, yes, sir, can I help you? And there was silence for a moment as they all looked at each other. Because in that moment, you know, that split second when everything happened, they kind of realized, wow, the story we're about to tell is kind of scary and shit, you know, for the people that's going to be. But they just kind of, it just kind of came out and they decided, well, you know, we're from far land, land far away. We've traveled many, many miles in the desert, onto the camels. We've been to Jerusalem. We've come there. You know, we took a short left and we came this way and now we're here and we've got to tell you the story because the prophecy has spoken. And it just all came out as they spoke to the father. And Taj expected the dad just to kind of like shut the door and say there's some crazy guys outside. In fact, the thing that happened was the father just looked at them and a broad smile appeared on his face. And he shouted at his wife, we have guests, and he introduced them and brought them and said, come in, sit down with us, please. Sit down with us. And then they walked in, a bit uncertain of what to react. There was the baby in the tub playing with a wooden toy, splashing the water, gurgling away, the mom standing there, and the men began to tell their story properly now of what happened, how they arrived here, what, you know, the journey they've been through. And as they spoke, you would think that the parents of the child would probably think, this is crazy, this is weird, this is strange. No. In fact, they just nodded and listened and smiled. And when they had done their full story, the father then smiled to them and said, you're probably wondering why we're smiling. But, you know, a few years ago, when this baby was born, we had shepherds arrive at our where we were staying and telling us the story, this amazing story of the angels. We know that this child is special. We know this child is different. And with that confirmation, the men turned to Taj and said, Taj, go bring the gifts. Bring your gifts. And Taj was like, what? Oh, the gifts. Sorry, I'm going back. And he ran back outside, opened the camels and grabbed these bundles that he'd been carrying for all these weeks that he had totally forgotten about and brought it to them. And they opened it up and handed it to the parents while the parents sat there. It was a bundle of gold. And there was a bottle of frankincense. And there was another bottle of myrrh. These were things that Taj had heard about. He knew they were really expensive, that only the wealthiest people, in fact, only the royalty ever had these things. And he suddenly realized he had this on his camel for these many weeks. And he was like, wow, this is a lot of money. And he kind of gave it. And these men who had studied the stars, who that's what they did for a living, kind of understood this, kind of presented it to the family and said, this is for the king. And they sat down and they chatted and they looked at each other and they spoke. And Taj kind of found himself staring at this baby playing in the water. And it was like, wow, he's so normal. Wow, he's a little kid. He's like every little, it's like I have brothers and sisters and they're like little children like this. They're normal. There's nothing amazing about this. And yet, he's the king that was promised. And he found himself comparing him to the king he had met earlier in Herod, and the opulence and the wealth of the palace. And he was like, this child is humble, as if he's the humble king. And so she kind of stood there for a while, and as the mom picked the baby up and dried him, and they laughed and they chuckled away, the baby then began to do the universal thing that every baby does when he gets tired and started rubbing his eyes. And Taj had known this, having brothers and sisters who are young. He kind of said, well, I guess it's time for the baby to sleep. And so they kind of looked at each other and they realized that they had reached the end of their welcome in the house. And they said, thank you so much for having us here. And the men kind of walked out and they chatted amongst themselves. What an incredible event, how normal this was. And it was just a really special moment as they walked out. They got to their lodgings, they sat down, they chatted for a bit, and they all decided to turn in for the night because it was, yeah, you know, they had achieved what they had come to achieve. And that night, Taj had a dream. It was a restless dream. It was a dream that bothered him so much that he found himself waking up and saying, wait, this is not normal. And he went over to the leader of the group and says, I've just had a terrible dream. We can't go back to Jerusalem. We need to go back a different way. Something's going to happen that's not right. And we just can't. We can't. This is not right. And the men looked at Taj and realized that Taj was being serious about it. And they said, yes, okay, right, we'll listen to you. And immediately they gathered their things together and they left. And they headed back home to a different route, totaled in a different direction, managed to get back home. And Taj had now completed the journey, his first solo adventure of his father's business, first time he's taken this big journey. And the men paid him a lot of money for it, and he was really thankful for that. But he always wondered about this experience. What an amazing experience for a young boy to have. A few weeks later, however, one of the travelers from a different town had come through their village and spoke about that they had just come back from Jerusalem. And Taj was like, well, you know, I was there a couple of weeks ago. I was there in Jerusalem. He goes, oh, wow, yeah, no, things are bad. He says, why? He says, that crazy king, he had all the boys, little boys, under two. He had his soldiers go out and kill them. And Taj found himself taking a deep breath going, what? Really? Didn't understand why the king would do this, but something deep inside of him made him wonder, I wonder if it had anything to do with that baby that was in the bath. The king that we were looking for. The story of, you would probably figure it out by now that this is a different take on the nativity stories. Often we make the mistake of merging the story of the shepherds and of the wise men or the magi into one story. And we almost think that as the shepherds left, the wise men like bumped into them as they were coming in. But the reality that the story has taken place in probably, some commentators say it's probably say about a year or two later after that. And I found this story as I was reading it and reflecting on it, I realized that there's things that we can take going into 2024, lessons that we can take, that we can use. And so I'm only going to give you three things that we're going to hold on to. Because, it's hot and it's busy and we probably want to get out of the building. But that's fine. But there's these three things that I want us to hold on to as we go into 2024. As these magi, as these men spent their lives seeking, let us be a people that never stop seeking. Point number one, never stop seeking. Don't be, we got to be careful of, we live in a world where we encourage to find your tribe, stick with your tribe, hold to that group that you're in and stay there. Don't branch out. Don't go further than that. Don't stay there. This is who you are. Yet these pagan men who had access to scripture that they didn't understand, prophecy that they didn't understand, they continued to seek. And they eventually found the king. So as a people, as a church, as a community, if you're a visitor amongst us, maybe hold on to that as you go into the new year. Be a person that seeks. Always recognize that you may not know the whole story. Always recognize that even in where you stand in terms of your it's a big thing, almost where you theologically stand on stuff. Recognize this. And it's a lesson that I learned that has been really helpful to me is that even in this, always be seeking. See your theology or the principles that you live by as your home and not your prison. Because if it's a home, you can always go visit someone else, but at the end of the day, you're going to come home. But if your principles you live by or the theology is a prison, in order to go out there has to be a jailbreak. And with that comes pain, comes anger. We respond to people badly. We then start saying things that are hurtful and holding on to ways that are not in any way glorifying to God. So let us be a people that are always seeking, recognizing, and looking and searching God's scripture and seeking after him. Point number two, be attentive. Be attentive. God is always and constantly talking to us. We just have to stop and listen. Whether it is when we're seeking his word, as we're reading through his word, he's speaking. Whether it is through people that are journeying life with you and speak into your life, he is speaking to us. Sometimes God, in his grace, even uses something as profound as a star in the sky to point them to his son. Let us be a people, not only that are continuously seeking, but we are attentive to what he is saying. And we listen to him as he leads. And the last point that as we leave, let's hold on. 2024, let us be a people that walk with integrity. You see, we might find ourselves walking in the desert next year. It may be difficult. And in those times, we might be looking for a shortcut, an easy way out. We might then make decisions that might give us ease of comfort in that moment, but not necessarily, you're right there, Mike. But not necessarily a good picture of who God is. Let us walk with integrity and walk in a way that reflects the heart of God. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you." As we come to the end of this year, I trust that it's been a year that we have seen God's hand at work. I trust that it's been a year that even in the difficulty, we have served a God that has shown himself to be faithful. And what's the joy as we come to the end of a year is to realize this, it's the same God that has been faithful and has carried us through. It's the same God that is preparing the next year and will be faithful and will carry us through. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you journey with your people, that you're always speaking, that you are there. You are not a God that is far off, that we have no idea of what's happening, but we're a God that is personal and with us. We thank you for your son. We thank you that he came. We thank you for his life. And thank you for the cross and what that means. Because we thank you, because of that, we have life and life in its fullness. And so we ask as we go into a new year, it's a year that is filled of new challenges, new adventures, new experiences. Father, but we go with knowledge that you have gone before us and you have us in the palm of your hands. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus. Amen.